Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. You've probably heard the audio, seen the video of the pastor in Canada who ordered the police and a public health official, all there in their COVID masks, to get out of his church. And boy, was he angry. So we're going to hear this. And I asked a member of Denver Bible Church, Christopher Wallace, Chris from Poland, to the studio to help us understand where this guy is coming from. So, Chris, first we'll hear from the pastor, and then we'll hear from you.
That sounds good.
Please get out. Get out of this property. Immediately get out. Okay. Get out of this property immediately. Out! Out! Out of this property! Out! 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 Out of this property! Immediately out! Immediately go out and don't come back. I don't care what you have to say. Out! Out! Out of this property, you Nazis! Out! Out! Gestapo is not allowed here. Immediately, Gestapo is not allowed! Go! So go! Go! And don't come back without a warrant. Out, Nazi. Out. Out. Do not come back, you Nazi psychopaths. Unbelievable, sick, evil people. Intimidating people in a church during the Passover. You Gestapo, Nazi, communists, fascists. Passover, the holiest Christian festival in a year, and they're coming to intimidate Christians during the holiest festival? Unbelievable! What is wrong with those sick psychopaths? It's beyond me.
Half a dozen police with their COVID masks and the health official, and this pastor was angry. So, Chris, could you talk to me about, I could hear the accent in his voice, yours a bit stronger, I think. But could you talk to me about where he's coming from?
Yeah, absolutely. So when I first saw this clip, it really resonated with me. I got goosebumps and chills. My background is I was actually born in Eastern Europe in a country called Poland. And we were able to actually get out of Poland right before they declared martial law in that country. I think that was 1980, 1981.
Wow.
And so even though I was very young when I left, I have very strong memories of incidents that happened of living under an Eastern European communist regime. My father was involved in the freedom movement there in Poland. And I've just grown up around Slavic people. I've stayed in touch with the community. I don't have an accent, but I speak fluently still.
Well, to me, you do. You just sound Eastern European to me. But
that's
my bias because I know about your background.
Yeah, that's interesting. It really resonated with me, and I got goosebumps when I watched it, because our people in particular, and not just people in Poland, but people all over Eastern Europe who went through being Soviet satellite republics, of being under the thumb of communism, they all know what it's like to have neighbors reporting on you, to have police showing up at your doorstep, and the anger and fury that you hear in this pastor's voice, I believe that pastor's from Canada. You can hear just this incredible passion and fury, and it's because he remembers what it was like under that regime. And you know, there's so many people that I've spoken to in the Slavic community, people from the Czech Republic, people from the Ukraine. I have friends who are Russian. We all echo the same thing in terms of what we're seeing globally with this kind of COVID policing.
Yeah.
It's very reminiscent of what was going on during the Eastern European days, the Soviet regime.
If the government could control your normal daily behavior, then what can they not control? Oppressive government rule ain't cool. And defiance to tyranny is obedience to God. That's why so many Christians are so thankful that this guy not only told them to get out, but to get out with righteous anger.
Absolutely. And then, you know, when you watch the clip, if your audience watches the clip later, you can see that a lot of the police officers are squirming. Some of them are being defiant. You can see that they definitely want to bust this pastor. But some of them are squirming, and what he calls them is exactly right. When he calls them Gestapo, they are effectively doing illegal orders against churches, oppressing people. It's very terrible to watch. And I can tell you, Bob, for sure, seeing this pastor do this, and I've seen other pastors do this across, you know, the United States. You hear stories. I'm sure you talk about it here on the radio. But I wish more people would. I've seen way too many churches acquiesce and just roll with whatever the restrictions are and following government orders rather than standing up for religious freedom.
Compliance. When you came in, just coincidentally, we had our lawsuit at the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals sitting on the desk, and it's an inch thick, perfect bound book. And so thankfully, we have two injunctions against the state of Colorado. But this pastor here, he's from Calgary in Alberta, Canada. He's Pastor Arthur Pawlowski. Now, I'm sure I butchered his name. How do you say
name? You did, but that's okay. It's been happening to me my whole life before I made my name English. So it's Arthur Pawlowski.
Okay. And
did you notice, Bob, when I speak Polish, the R's come out, Arthur.
Yes. Yes. I love it, actually. And so could you tell us then, your father was part of the freedom movement. You guys left Poland before martial law was imposed. Could you tell us what that was like for your dad?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. So a couple of memories come to mind. Again, I was young, but the incidents were very powerful in my life, so I remember them very clearly. I can tell you that when we left and he came to the country, to the United States, I remember as a little boy watching the news of what was going on in Poland with martial law being declared. They had rolled out tanks into the streets. There was video footage of them shooting water cannons at protesters. And I remember watching my dad sitting at the kitchen table and crying. I grew up with stories of my father telling me that he had been on a list of people to be arrested because he was a speaker in the region that we were from. And as I grew up, you know, I always took that kind of with a grain of salt. But after he had passed, I was going through his papers and I actually discovered a letter from one of their friends. And in the letter, it says, I can still speak and write fluently, right? So this letter is in Polish, but it was one of their friends. And this person wrote, I'm able to write to you because I was given permission to visit family in Western Germany. So there's no censorship here. And the background there is when she says there's no censorship here, I remember getting letters from my grandfather that were all blacked out. The only parts that weren't blacked out were things that talked about the weather or that he was, you know, beekeeping and creating honey jars. But anything that had anything to do with what was going on politically, it was actually censored. It was crossed out with black marker.
Wow.
So when this lady wrote to my father and said, I'm in West Germany and there's no censorship, she was actually able to write to him, you know, the truth. And and this letter was really incredible. It was like a vision to the past connecting a story that my father gave me.
Right.
And what this lady had written was that, you know, all of your friends were arrested and it came out that your name was on the list too. And it's good that you got out. So in that moment, I realized that my father wasn't just telling me some stories, but that he actually really was involved. And you know, potentially it could have been very bad for our family had we stayed.
Another pastor up in Canada spent weeks incarcerated because they're trying to worship the Lord in a church setting. The censorship that your family and thousands of families, millions of families experienced, that's happening today through big tech. It's this open conspiracy between the government and industry, and big tech is more than happy to be the strong man and censor free speech.
Sure. It's pretty stunning. And I'll tell you, Bob, I remember in particular when I was a boy sitting around the kitchen table, my mother and father sat me down and they looked very serious. And you know how it is when you're a kid and your parents are serious, you're thinking, oh, did I get in trouble?
Right.
What they told me, Bob, was make sure that you don't talk about anything you hear us talking about inside the house externally. Don't talk with neighbors. Don't talk with family members. Mm-hmm. And the reason is because there were informers. There were people who would call the government authorities on you if you weren't towing the Communist Party line or whatever it was.
Right.
And I can tell you about a couple of years ago, I was telling my older son, who's now, 13, 12 years old, the same thing. He was about probably out 10. And I remember telling him, hey, be careful about what you say in school. And I remember just being stunned because I was immediately taken back to my parents telling me that. And I couldn't believe that in America, a land of the free, land of freedom of speech, that I was telling my son to watch what he says. And I couldn't believe it.
We have had the same concern, Christopher. We've raised 7 sons. And for a spanking 20 years ago, 5 swats on the backside, the way my dad spanked us as kids and left 3 red marks. We only know that because the police were there minutes later and took photographs. I ended up being convicted and spent months in jail. So we would use terminology, hoping our kids would pick up on it. Instead of calling it a spanking, we'd call it time out. And we'd put them in time out, which meant they got a spanking when they were real young, in case they would say in front of who knows who, I just got a spanking. And so for Cheryl and I, it was devastating, way worse than just going to jail for 2 months for me, because the government took away our 4 oldest kids. We lost custody. And now, thank God that they're adults and they love and respect us and the relationships are wonderful. But when the government will do that, there's been not only the war against children with abortion, but the war against parenting with spanking, the war against marriage. So the war against family, the war against what's right, and the war against freedom. So we are in a battle that the church is ill prepared for. When the church allowed child killing to happen with almost no opposition from the vast majority of our congregations, that told the left that they can eventually get away with just about anything. Because if we can't stop child killing, what will we be able to stop?
Yeah, sure. And that's what I was alluding to earlier when I mentioned that I have connections with the Slavic community and other folks who are from former Slavic Eastern European nations. There's this common theme, and we all see what's going on. The incremental approach of government authority, of the conglomeration of big tech getting together with government to censor, and we all see it, and it's because we lived it, right? Maybe not the younger folks from Eastern Europe. They don't have a concept of that, but I certainly remember, and all my friends do too. And Americans can't see it. They do not believe that it could happen here, and we're definitely heading towards that way.
Mm-hmm.
So, Bob, let me tell you a little bit about why we wound up coming to Denver Bible Church. In 2020, as the mask mandate started and churches started shutting down, we were attending a couple of different churches here in town, and we were actually very surprised that nobody had any backbone to stand up against it about getting together to worship the Lord. It's something that's very important to me and my family. And we actually started doing home church. We bounced around 2 different churches in 2020. We left 2 different churches in 2020 because they, immediately went to Zoom. There was no questioning of what was going on. And I'll be very honest with you, even I, as a skeptical Slavic guy, fell for some of the propaganda that was
out
there.
Well, at the very beginning, there's a lot we didn't know. We're not omniscient.
No.
We don't know what is the lethality, what is the transmissibility of this virus.
Yeah.
Is it really like the first model said it was going to be?
Absolutely.
And it turned out to be nothing like the fear that was used to control everyone.
Absolutely. I was expecting people to be falling down and being pulled out of their houses and ambulances and whatnot.
Of course.
Some of the propaganda that I saw coming out from China definitely swayed me. I mean, look, we were doing ridiculous things like washing the groceries before we brought them into the house.
Right.
We stayed home. We did the whole thing.
Donald Trump cut off travel from America to Europe. That was historic. And conservative Christians, including on this program, we didn't object. Not a single voice. I did not notice a single voice. And I went back and looked too afterward. No one objected because we didn't know.
We didn't know. That's right.
And then Trump told the governors on national TV that they're going to shut down their economies, and if they don't, he will. So at the very beginning, it wasn't just the left that was saying, hey, this looks really scary. So
yep.
We were afraid too. Not afraid as though we have no hope in Jesus Christ. That's one of the reasons conservative Christians came around to see the truth more quickly, because we're not afraid of death the way the left is.
Sure, absolutely.
So disease is a part of life. You
absolutely.
Don't stop living because you might get a disease and die.
Yeah, absolutely, right? And the thing for us is, and my family is when we sat there and looked at it and realized that, you know, it wasn't as bad as, you know, we were being told, the original narrative. You know, we're doing home church because all of our churches closed down. As I mentioned to you, you know, being in this country and freedom and everything that this country stands for, it's very important to me in light of my background. When I found out about Denver Bible Church, we came across a story in the news somewhere. I can't remember if it was Denver Post or Nine News or something.
Yeah.
But my wife read it and she said, hey, that's that church that's in Wheat Ridge, Colorado. We had known about it, seen it once before, driving around. And so we decided to come check it out. We couldn't believe it. And when we found out that you all were fighting against the mask orders and actually taking a stand, much like this Canadian pastor, taking a stand against this government control, my heart rang with joy. I said, these are my people. And
wow.
So we started attending.
Wow.
And, you know,
it's... Chris, what a beautiful family you have. Homeschool family. All the churches at Denver Bible Church, they're all homeschool families.
Yeah.
And the kids love their parents, love the Lord. It is such a blessing to be with the kids at Denver Bible Church.
Sure, yeah.
Let alone the parents.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who become dear and close friends. I feel like I've known you for my life, and we've only known each other since the COVID.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, it's funny that you mentioned homeschool. You hear a lot of negative propaganda about homeschoolers. I'll put my sons up against any kid who's educated in a government school.
Yeah.
History, mathematics, science, whatever.
Yeah.
They're super sharp.
Yeah, agreed. And that's the experience of homeschoolers across the country and around the world. And the COVID is backfiring on the left because there are many families. We have close relatives who had both their kids in public high school. They pulled them both out. The one is going for a GED, great, get that over with, and the other has a Christian homeschool curriculum, being homeschooled by mom, and so they are losing their control over a few hundred thousand kids.
Sure, absolutely.
So, Chris from Poland, you find Denver Bible Church, and in the sermons, to me, I'm the pastor. I should know. I lived my whole life going to other churches, hearing other sermons. But the sermons seem to have more of an edge to them in that we take on the issues that are facing the church, whether it's sexual immorality, pornography, homosexuality, transgenderism, or socialism, or abortion, euthanasia, or the COVID. We just take on all those issues,
sure.
And it's just a part of the church experience of living as a Christian who's not afraid and teaching other Christians and encouraging one another to stand up for the Lord and the truth.
Sure. And I think what really attracted me to Denver Bible Church after we started attending is that, you know, you do hit upon all those topics. I think that there's a lot of Christianity light pastoring going on in a lot of denominations. And that's not what Christianity is. You know, so you're not afraid to touch on the subjects. I think the other thing that really stands out to me is that you'll take and analyze not only Bible passages, but bring them into light in terms of the modern viewpoint. You'll also back it up with a lot of historical information and archaeology. So from an intellectual level, that's one of the reasons that I stay at the church.
It is fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
To study God's word with the intellect that he gave us, and not to spiritualize every other passage, but to take it in its historical context. And what was God fighting against in Jeremiah's time, and what are the parallels to our time? And it turns out the parallels are extraordinary. And the way the religious leaders of Jeremiah's time, which eventually led to the Babylonian captivity, kings being arrested, their children being
sure.
slain in front of them. the way that the religious leaders were remiss in their obligations to God and to the people back then are the way many church leaders today have been remiss. And I'd like to ask you, Chris, your view of church. A lot of churches have adopted the view, seeker-friendly, that church is for the unbeliever. And our view of church is that church is for the believer. Yesterday was Resurrection Sunday, Easter. We had visitors there. Some I know are not Christians. And they're welcome. We're thrilled, and they hear the gospel. But church is to build up believers. Church is the fellowship of the saints, so we strengthen one another. And if we're always concerned about not stepping on the toes of unbelievers, we don't want to offend anyone, then everyone in the church is going to stay weak. They're going to stay immature. They're going to be on the milk and not able to handle the meat of the word.
Sure. I think Christianity over its time has been a rejection of secularism. And there's a reason that it was, outlawed and banished in the first couple of hundred years. You know, during Roman times, they faced a lot of persecution. And not just in Rome, everywhere. I think that Christians definitely walk a different path. And you have to make a conscious choice and effort to accept the Lord's message into your heart. To listen to it and to live your life in a different way. And it's not easy. Everybody stumbles.
Yeah.
But it's so important, right?
Yeah. And like you said, the first few centuries, the persecution was intense. It came in waves. It wasn't constant, but some of the waves were severe. Many people killed for their faith in Jesus Christ. And if only they would deny him, they'd be spared. But none did deny him. But then the government with Constantine, then the government joined the church, and that became a catastrophe when the government joined the church. And today it's like the church has invited the culture to join the church.
Sure.
And that seeker-friendly mindset where some sermons you won't hear the name Jesus mentioned sometimes for 2 months in a stretch, so that we realize that they're not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, not routinely.
Sure.
They are building up their numbers.
Bob, did you hear about President Biden's Easter message?
Former Vice President Joe Biden?
No. President. Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, what was? No, I didn't.
Well, I didn't actually listen to the whole thing, but I read the transcript. And what I found interesting is that his Easter message made no mention of Jesus Christ.
Wow. Sadly, that reminds me of George W. Bush, who we tracked during his presidency. He would praise Islam. He would speak in glowing terms of the Quran. I mean, Muslims. But I can't remember him mentioning Jesus Christ.
Yep.
But he never had a negative word to say about Islam, whereas the teachings of the Bible, he condemned. When he first began to run for nomination for president, I called the church he attended in Texas, mega church, and I talked to the membership director, and I said, I have a homosexual friend, and I'd like to know, could he be a member in good standing at your church if he doesn't repent? And she said, oh, yes, absolutely. So I didn't need to know anything else about George W. Bush to know that he was the enemy. But sure enough, he gave Planned Parenthood twice as much money as Bill Clinton had given them. And he had the trifecta. He had Congress and the White House and the Supreme Court. And he went from $1 billion to $2 billion for abortion. So fighting against the oppression that's happening from our government and from the media and high tech, it's not just voting Republican. In no way does that mean that you are helping the country. It certainly could be that a Republican could be standing for the truth, but don't take it as a guarantee because it's not.
Yep, that's right. You mentioned George W. Bush, Bob, and you talked about, you know, how he was talking about Muslims and whatnot. In light of some of these church invasions, is what I would call them, by the police, the example that we started off the show with the Calgary pastor fighting back, there's a video in the UK of police officers in the UK shutting down Catholic Mass. I've always wondered, why is there no video of them shutting down any services going on with Islamic religions? You don't see any video or stories about police entering mosques and shutting down services, and it's because they are afraid of the repercussions.
That observation is right in line with what we've seen, where the church is mocked. Hollywood, if they have a sitcom and they're going to mock somebody's religion, it's going to be a Christian, and Islam is presented as the religion of peace, to which we ask, well, where's Islam a religion of peace? That'd be an interesting answer to get. But I think it was Poland back years ago, George W. Bush sent out a homosexual ambassador, I believe it was to Poland, and we actually grieved on this show and just tried to picture what it would be like for the Polish president to welcome the new American ambassador and his husband, what that would have been like, how devastating. So America, even though we grew up as a nation knowing the gospel of Jesus Christ, not only reading the scriptures, but printing hundreds of millions of copies of the Bible, sending them all over the world. But we have so turned our back on Jesus Christ that our nation has been a force for evil in the world in an insidious way, in some ways more destructive than communist countries.
Sure, there's no doubt about that.
And through all this period, for the most part, the church has been silent, actually complicit. The church has been complicit.
Yeah, Bob, and that's kind of what I was getting at earlier is, you know, I admire people who stand up against this tyranny and what's going on. You know, there's a lot of leftists who make fun of us and say that it's not tyrannical at all and that we're just trying to keep people safe and we don't want to keep people safe. But I think that, to quote Biden's favorite term, that's a bunch of malarkey.
Yeah, right.
You know, and I like the fact that, you know, Denver Bible Church published their 95 theses against the COVID orders, you know, going back to what Martin Luther did, you know, back in the 1500s.
Yeah, that's right. But this time we posted them to our own church doors.
Yeah, that's right.
And
but you didn't use nails, right?
Well, we used liquid nails because the doors are made of glass these days. Yeah, they began, whereas fear is not without its victims. And then, whereas concern for mental health and suicide has been eclipsed by concern over a life-threatening respiratory disease. So there is so much that has happened that has gone against all reason, all long-established medical practice, best practices. It used to be if you tested positive and you had no clinical symptoms, they didn't call that a case. That was not a case. Your test had to be confirmed in the clinic showing up with symptoms. That was thrown out so that the government could take control over a vast additional segment of not only our economy and our culture, but our own private lives and our personal daily lives.
Yeah,
that was all thrown out. So the 95 theses nailed to our own church doors. We're not taking it anymore. We're armed with two injunctions, one against masks, the other against limit on capacity. And we are fighting not for our constitutional rights. We're fighting for our God-given rights.
That's right. God bless.
Thank you so much, Christopher Wallace.
Thank you.
Chris from Poland. God bless you, brother. So, Denver Bible Church, it's in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, right off of I-70 and Kipling. Sunday morning, 9:30, Sunday school, 11 o'clock church. Be great to see you there. May God bless you.